as we're learning and as we're growing. So far, we've talked about things such as I will give, I will serve, I will minister, I will evangelize, I will study, I will seek to be a blessing to others, I will be a good steward with my tithe, my talents, and my possessions. And today we're going to be talking about unity. I will be a unifier. And so I hope that that's something that is in your heart and in your life. In John chapter 13, verse 35, Jesus says these words, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." If you love one another. Now, as we go through this is going to be an important thing that we come back to very often is love. Loving each other, working together with each other is going to be very important. Over in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, Paul writes these words to the church. "For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which exists among you and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers." He says here, your love for all the saints. Not just the ones I like the most, not just the ones that I spend the most time with, all the saints. What is unity? What is unity? That's something that we need to define to get a grasp of what we're shooting for. And so what we want to begin with is what it is not. What it is not. Unity does not mean uniformity. It doesn't mean everyone is looking just alike, dressing just alike, thinking just alike, being just alike, talking just alike. There are differences that we have based on our backgrounds, based on our personalities, based on the way God has made us. But it seems that what people push for today in having unity is being uniform, is everything being just alike. And that's not the case. And we all bring different thoughts. We all bring different attitudes to the table. And depending on our background and where we are in our Christian walk today. And it's through those differences that we're able to grow together and learn. And we all can change a little bit, can't we? Y'all can nod your head. Yes. Yes, we can. We all need that in our lives. And that's what is going on. There's a danger of getting too comfortable with how we are and doing things the way we like to do them, because sometimes we lose touch with what's going on in the community around us, in the church around us, with other people around us. So we need to be aware of that. People have different gifts and abilities that God gives. Everyone doesn't do the same thing. God may put a passion for a ministry in your life and a different passion for a different ministry in someone else's life. And, you know, a lot of times we have a trouble grasping why people aren't getting on board with what we're passionate about. But sometimes God doesn't give us all those same types of passions. We're all to be serving the church, but we're not all to be serving in the same ways. We're to be using what God has given us to work and to be who He would have us to be. We shouldn't expect someone to be just like us or to have just exactly the same ideas. What our goal for all of us should be is to bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus as we work together. It's important for all to serve. It's something we've been talking about for the past couple of weeks. And actually for a long time, that I hope we realize is every person in the church is important. Every person, every individual make up the body of Christ as we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But not all are to serve exactly the same way. So we can see that what it's not, I hope, but what it is. What is unity? Unity is the state of being one, where the whole combines all of its parts. The whole combines all of its parts. The most talent doesn't always win a football game, does it? I mean, we watch football a lot. here in the South. Most of us know quite a bit about football. But the team with the most talent is not always the team that comes out on top, is it? It's usually the team that can come together in unity and work together and play together the best. Only one person can be the quarterback. But the quarterback's got to realize that he can't throw the pass without the line. And his pass is going to be incomplete without a receiver to catch the ball. And everybody's important. The defense is important. The running back has to have that line in front of him. If nobody's blocking, he's not going to get very far, is he? It takes the whole team working. It's the same idea with the church. We're working together. We are a team together. And we all have different roles to play on that team. But we put that all together in unity, and it flows and brings honor and glory to the name of Jesus Christ. And we're able for a light to shine as never before. If we truly love Christ, we're going to love the church. We will love the church. And a lot of people that don't love the church. But we need to remember what Christ calls the church. We are the body of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. He loves us. He cares about us. And He wants us to love each other and work together with each other to build the unity that only can come through Him. We'll have a love for all the Christians, all the saints, as He says here. So as we now hopefully have at least a grasp of what unity is and how we can work together, this is something the Bible teaches us for every believer. You are to be a unifier. You are to be at work building unity in the church. It's not just the pastor. It's not just the staff. It's not just the deacons. It is every person working together. Every biblical church member is to seek to build the unity of the body of Christ. If we're going to reach the lost in this area of the world, we must be unified in what we are doing, in our purpose, and in our goals. If we're going to grow spiritually together, we must be unified. It takes all of us working together for this to happen. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 says this: "Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you, walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Did you see what he said there in verse 3? Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Folks, to be a source of unity, we must learn to love our brothers and sisters in Christ as Christ has loved us. Think about that for just a minute. This is an unconditional love for others. Think about how much Christ loves you. While we were lost in sin, Jesus died for us. He went to the cross for us to shed His blood so that we might have forgiveness and become one with Him. And in that, He longs for us to have that love for each other so that we can grow in that love and be who He wants us to be. It takes humility. It takes humbling ourselves. You know, a lot of times we like to think about how great we are and how much more that we know and all these different things. But what is humility? Humility is when we're able to put others before ourselves. others' needs, others, the things about others' life. It takes patience. It takes working with people who do not work well with others. That does take a lot of patience, doesn't it? Working well with people that don't work well with you. We need to learn patience, don't we? We need to learn how to work with others and love on others. It takes a gentleness. Seeking the best when you don't agree. Seeking the best out of a situation. Always looking for God's work, God's best in all things. It takes love. Loving others as Christ loves you. Look over in the book of Colossians chapter 3 and verse 14. Paul writes these words, "Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity." Love. The perfect bond of unity. We read 1 Corinthians 13 a couple of weeks ago. You might want to keep that in mind because this is where that chapter fits in. This is what that chapter is talking about, is loving each other in the church. Loving each other with the gifts that God has given us and working together. And that comes together in love, being able to work in the ways that God would have us to. Love overlooks a multitude of wrongs to bring honor to Jesus. Love, as we talked about, in every area of our Christian walk, it must show up in the body of Christ as we work together. God is love, and through the work of the Holy Spirit, we take on that character of love in our lives. And as we take on that character of love, we learn to love others. We learn to pull together. We learn to put others before ourselves. You are to be a unifier. And in being a unifier, this next point should kind of come naturally to us. You are to avoid being divisive. Divisive is the opposite of being a unifier. Divisive pulls apart. A unifier pulls together. You know, it is much easier to divide than it is to unify, isn't it? We get those words out there and the things that are said, and all of a sudden, there's divisiveness. And that's what we're going to be talking about these next few minutes. Some people enjoy being divisive because it makes them feel powerful, especially if they can get others to follow along. If they can get others to join in. Romans chapter 1, verses 29 through 31. There's a list of evil deeds here. He says, "Being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, and unmerciful." That's a list of things that God has put in there. And notice what he puts right in the middle of all of this. There's a word there. Gossip. Gossip. Now, a lot of times we don't put gossip in with all this other stuff. God does. Gossip is defined as idle talk. And gossip will tear a church apart. It calls for people to take sides. It calls for people to fight against each other. Gossip is evil. It's used to hurt. Now, you know the definition that we have used here throughout the years. It's not just something that's untrue. It's anything that is said to bring harm to someone else. Anything that's said to bring harm to someone else. Being known as a gossip is not the reputation that you want. Look with me over in the book of James, chapter 3, and verse 1. verse 6. James chapter 3, verse 6. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. The tongue is capable of so much evil. Words can spread like wildfire. We have seen wildfires this year. They happen every year. We see them on the news every year. But wildfires take place. A little spark, and all of a sudden there's a fire that's blazing and hard to put out. It takes a lot of effort to move past it. The tongue can cause so much damage. The Bible tells us to be quick to hear and slow to speak. But so many times we're quick to speak and slow to hear. We kind of get that backwards many times. Complaining and griping will kill the unity of the church. Every church has those who fit in this category. They cannot help themselves but complain about the pastor, about the staff, about the deacons, about their Sunday school teacher, about their Sunday school class, about what we're doing, about what we're not doing, about anything that they can think of to complain about. And I would encourage you today, don't take part in that. Don't give credence to that. Don't help those that are in this state of mind to stay there. Help them to get out of that state of mind. It does not mean that you have to agree or that you have to feel like nothing needs to change. It just means to handle it in the right ways. Talk to the right people. This does not mean that you're always going to get your way, but it doesn't divide the body either. And folks, we need to be working together so that we don't divide the body of Christ, but we help pull the body of Christ together. Now, in being a unifier and not being divisive, here's something else that we need in each one of our lives to be able to be a biblical church member and draw unity to the church. You are to be forgiving. Forgiving. Forgiving's hard for us, it seems like. But don't forget, Christ has forgiven you. And we need to grasp a hold of that. There are times we all need forgiveness, and we always need to be forgiving. Forgiveness is a must for unity. And it's also a must for your health. You know, holding on to things will cause health issues, cause problems within our own lives. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. Jesus says, "For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions." What's he teaching us here? He's teaching us that we need to be forgiving. Now, he's not saying here that this is going to keep you out of heaven, but what he is saying here is it's going to hurt your relationship with him. We can't walk as Christians the way we're supposed to walk as Christians if we're not forgiving in our hearts, if we're holding a grudge, if we're staying angry. We've got a problem, and we need to deal with it. We need to allow God to deal with it within our hearts. It takes maturity on the Christian's part to be forgiving. Learning to forgive begins with accepting the forgiveness that Jesus has given to us, and it is through His strength that we are able to forgive others. We need to love with the love of the Lord. And as we love others, we're going to learn how to forgive them. truly forgive them with our hearts, not just with our words. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13 say this. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. I'm going to ask you to remember something today. Probably not hard for you to remember. Your pastor's not perfect. Your pastor doesn't do everything just exactly right. Your pastor doesn't always have the right attitude. Your pastor doesn't always take the right actions. Doesn't mean I don't try, but I'm not perfect. Your staff is not perfect. Your deacons are not perfect. Your Sunday school class, the members of this church are not perfect. But guys, I've got some news for you. You're not perfect either. See, that's where we tend to mess up sometimes. We tend to hold others to a higher standard than we're willing to hold ourselves to. Every person that is trying, every person that is doing something, is going to make mistakes. They're going to do things that may not be what you want. May not be the action or the words that you wanted to take or hear. But we grow from our mistakes, hopefully. And we get up and we continue to try. Forgiving others, we learn to do that as we grow. It's a maturing process. We learn how to forgive. We learn how to move forward. We learn how to move past. Folks, we all need forgiveness at some point. Every one of us. We all need forgiveness at some point. So I want to ask you, is there someone in your life that you need to forgive? Is there someone in our church family, in our community, that you need to forgive? That you need to be forgiving towards? Folks, if we're going to be unifiers, we need to realize the importance of forgiveness, of not being divisive, of seeking and working towards unifying. Are you a unifier or are you a divider? Are you seeking to bring honor to Jesus or are you seeking to bring honor to self? Do you want to be a biblical church member? Folks, then we need to listen to what Jesus has to say to each one of us. We need to be willing to follow Him, seek His will and guidance. We need to be willing to lay aside our pride, humble ourselves before Him, but not just before Him, but before others, so that we might be the men and women of Christ that He would have us to be. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I invite you today to come. Jesus has been to the cross for you. He's been to the grave. He has risen from the grave, and He offers you life. Today, will you accept Him? Will you turn your heart to Jesus? I invite you to come. Christians, this altar is open this morning. I invite you to come. Humble yourself before the Lord. Humble yourself before the church. And allow God to begin to do a mighty, mighty work in your life today. Father, as we come before you, we pray.